Good afternoon and welcome to Pleasing God, the Bible study program heard on this station Monday through Friday for 15 minutes starting at noon. We concentrate on important Bible topics and answer religious questions from the Word of God. I'm Mark J. Ward and want to thank you personally for being a regular listener to our program and ask you to please tell others about the program. You can go to our teaching website at markjward.com, scroll down to the questions area, and send me your Bible questions to be answered on the air in the future, or leave me comments that you might have about this program. Also, look for the Antique Radio at the same site, and you'll be able to see all past episodes of this program to review and study as you like. In today's lesson, we would like to speak concerning Noah, but we would like to begin with Hebrews the 13th chapter, verses 20 and 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. We'd like to speak about Noah today, and Noah is an Old Testament character who really lived. There really was a flood, and we want to look at some of the characteristics of Noah, the things that Noah was faced with in his life, and as Romans, the 15th chapter, teaches us about the entirety of the Bible, including things that we're not to obey, but that we are to learn from. That is, things in the patriarchal law age or the Mosaical dispensation or law age. The Bible says, reading from the New American Standard, "For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of Scriptures, we might have hope." So there's something to be gained from examples, whether they be good or whether they be examples of bad things in the Old and in the New Testaments. As far as a law age, it's the law of Christ that we're to follow. And it's a very different law than the law of the patriarchs that God gave them by directly talking to heads of families and directly to other individuals. And then he began to use prophets, and after Exodus, the 20th chapter, with the giving of the law to the Israelites, there was a covenant that God made with the children of Israel. And before all of that happened, we're back in Genesis, and we're in the 6th chapter, and we've got this wonderful character in the Bible, Noah, who's also mentioned in Hebrews, the 11th chapter, in what we might call the Heroes of Faith chapter, where so many were mentioned that lived in the Old Testament that were victorious on occasion. These were men and women who were human, just like you and I. These were men and women that had their ups and downs, just like you and I. Oh, they may have lived under a different law age, but they were still accountable to the same God of the universe, the Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the divine nature, of which we can find out about from Genesis 1 through and including the book of Revelation in our Holy Bibles. In Genesis 6, by the time from creation forward, man began to depart from that way which is good. This is typical of man because of things concerning the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. With man being created good and upright, and yet having the freedom to choose, there are temptations from the devil and his angels with regard to encouraging us to do that which is really not the best for us. What God wants for us and what God asks us to do is what's best for us. But then again, sin is tempting, and sometimes based on an individual nature, some things that tempt one person don't tempt another. The devil knows that, and we need to be on guard in our spiritual battle against sin and to please God. In Genesis 6, I'd like to begin reading in verse 1. Now it came about when men began to multiply on the face of the land, and daughters were born to them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves, whomever they chose. And then the Lord said, My spirit shall not strive with man forever, because he is also his flesh. Nevertheless, his days shall be 120 years. Up until this time, there were people like Methuselah who lived the longest as far as being recorded in the Bible at 969 years of age. Noah was also of those human beings that were in the early days of after the creation of the earth and the things that God created. And we find that during this time, we have wickedness that is extreme on the face of the earth. So much so, in verse 5 of Genesis 6, Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great on the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. The Bible says the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. This tells us a lot of things. This tells us that not only does God hate sin and does sin anger God, but it also grieves him. God has feelings with regard to mankind showing love and not doing things that are self-inflicting wounds, which is every time we sin, that's what we're doing, is we're hurting ourselves spiritually. Sometimes this will hurt physically as well. There are consequences of sin, both temporal in this life sometimes, and certainly in the life to come. The Lord said, verse 7 of Genesis 6, I will blot out man. He'll blot out man, whom I've created from the face of the land, from man to animals to creeping things and to birds of the sky, for I am sorry that I have made them. Well, you know, they say every cloud has a silver lining, and the next verse is of great comfort to our souls, and it can be encouraging as well as comforting. The Bible says, But Noah found favor. The King James Version says, found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Then there's a record of a genealogy of sorts, but Noah was the father of three sons, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. And they had wives. And as you know, if you've studied the Bible a little bit and you've heard about Noah and the flood, that there were eight souls that were saved in the ark by God. Noah, and because we don't have her name, I'll affectionately call her Mrs. Noah. And we have Shem, Ham, and Japheth, the sons. So we also have their wives, the Bible says. So Mrs. Shem and Mrs. Ham and Mrs. Japheth. Those eight souls were in the ark with the animals that God had instructed Noah to put in the ark. But before this flood came, that was a devastating flood that killed so many, not just people but animals as well, God allowed Noah to preach. God said to Noah, The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. And behold, I'm about to destroy them with the earth. Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms, and you shall cover it inside and out with pitch. And then God gives him, that is Noah, the specifications to build the ark. Notice that Noah, who found favor in the sight of the Lord, was not rebellious. He did not question God. He did not try to talk God out of something that was God's judgment and God's place to do. But he was willing to please God. Noah found favor, not because God just liked the way Noah combed his hair, or brushed his teeth, or whatever the case may be, as some people use as determining factors today of whether they like somebody or not. No, God looks upon the spiritual aspect. Oh, he cares about how we dress. He cares about how we talk. We should, to the best of our abilities, given our circumstances, have good hygiene. All these things are important within their proper respective place in life. But our soul is the most precious possession that we have. We need to guard it, keep it, protect it, do everything we can to keep it away from the devil and sinful things. The flood came, as recorded in Genesis, the 7th chapter. Can you imagine the mass of humanity that was destroyed from the face of the earth, and the existing animals that were left on the earth that were destroyed? This is an example of God being just and fair. Somebody might be saying, well, Mark, I just don't see how that's love in action. I just don't see how that could be fair. Well, that's going to be explained with a Bible passage that says that God's ways are higher than our ways. And mankind is the creature and not the creator. God's ways are past finding out. God doesn't run hot and cold and inconsistent and consistent for a while and then inconsistent. We would do well to learn from the nature of God as revealed in the Bible. It might help us fear with a godly fear, as the writer of Ecclesiastes said, after teaching that so much is vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all, I'll say on earth, is vanity. But the conclusion of the whole matter is to fear God and to keep His commandments. Noah was one who respected a godly fear is required of us. We're not to be fearful, Revelation 21:8. Those that are all liars and the fearful and the abominable and the whoremongers, God will judge. But we've got to realize there's something about Noah who preached righteousness. He warned of a flood to come, and the people would not relent or repent. They continued in their sin and in their sinful ways, and did nothing to even begin to gravitate toward that which is right. And God had been long-suffering and patient in His dealing with man. And God does it in the right time, with love, with long-suffering, and yet with the proper amount of vengeance, because vengeance belongs to God. We do not have the right to take vengeance, the Bible teaches. God will take vengeance in due time. We'd like to read from Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We haven't gone over everything about the life of Noah. Time in 15 minutes would not permit us, but we'll revisit, Lord willing, in future programs, not this week, but in other programs, a reference to Noah. Notice what the Bible says in verse 7 of Hebrews 11. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Can we be like Noah in the midst of wickedness in this world that we live in today? Are we willing to take a stand, or will we cave and be like the majority? Oh, sin is tempting. Sin glistens with the glitter and the glamour, but it's like a whitewashed tomb. Inside, it's just ugliness. I want to thank you so much for listening to this program. Please tell others about the program. And until tomorrow, we bid you a pleasant good day.